Brother Eric for the introduction, but I have to confess that I do not feel like an honored guest this morning at all. Church, instead, I feel like the youngest child who was finally given the opportunity to pray at the family dinner. And for years, I've sat in these pews under the leadership of Brother Al, the other lady pastors, guest preachers, and it never crossed my mind I'd get the opportunity to feel the pulpit for Brother Al on Sunday morning. And so when he called me, I guess it was about a couple months ago, and asked if I did it, at first I thought it was a joke. And I wanted to say no, but I learned a long time ago that you do not tell Brother Al no. He's eventually going to get you to say yes if you do. So I figured I'd go ahead and just say this both times and say yes. But I'll tell you, this is a really awesome place. I cherish the years I spent in this church, and when I moved here in 2007, April 2007, I came from the background without the church, without the gospel, without Jesus Christ in my life, and I found myself in that back pew right over there on one end without a Bible, with another, with a lady on the other end with her Bible, and when she noticed that I didn't have a Bible, she said, "Son, she motioned me to come over there. She said, "Son, you don't have a Bible, so you're worshiping with me today." And so as Brother Al begins to preach, she sticks her Bible in front of me and makes me follow along with her finger. So I have to actually read the text as Brother Al is preaching. That was the first time in my life that I had received the conviction of the gospel. That I had understood that it was not about going to church. It was not about living a good life. It was about surrendering your life to Christ. But that was foreign to me. I didn't want anything to do with it. It scared me. And so, thank God for the altar call. We all stood up, and my heart was just beating out of my chest to go forward and give my life to Christ that morning. But I stood strong. And when that lady recognized that I was not going to move, she whispered in my ear and began sharing her testimony. And it's exactly what I was going through. And she began from there, not so strong. I said, "This is getting crazy by the minute, but I'm going to hold my ground." So then, church was over. She made me go meet Brother Al. And I just shook his hand. I was ready to get out of here and never come back. And then she made me walk into her car and asked her to share the gospel. That morning when I left church in April 2007, for the first time in my life, I was running from the Lord. I was running from the truth of salvation. And it took about 3 months. I returned with full intentions to give my life to Christ, only by conviction, because this church scared me. But I came, I got baptized, I graduated from Auburn, went through the seminary program. Graduated in 2014. You guys loved me. You fed me. You cared for me. You made me feel like family. And so chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, and they lay daily at the gate of the temple. That is called the Beautiful Gate. To ask alms of those entering the temple, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. So here, this text here, I want to highlight just three men, and also just show you the model that they led for us, and just kind of apply that to what we're doing at Lakeshore Church, and also what happened in my life after I made a promise, the people that were intentional in my life. So the very first five verses just kind of sets the stage. It sets the scene for the rest of the remaining part of the sermon here. With the first five verses, we see how we are called as Christians to live intentional. So you have two groups of people here. You have Peter and John, who are going to the temple at the hour of prayer. This is something that they were accustomed to doing. They were observing Jews at this time, and so they went to the temple for the hour of prayer. You also have a younger individual, a man who was lame from birth, was being carried to the temple to sit outside the gates and ask for alms for the people that were going there. So you had two different groups that both had intentions of what they're doing and where they're going. But when the man who was lame from birth saw Peter and John, he spoke out and asked for alms. But Peter and John respond, see this man, and say, "Look at us." And the scripture says that the man was focused on, that they had his attention. So here we have just a very quick, perfect example of an opportunity taken advantage of. This was modeled throughout the book of Acts. It was modeled throughout the Gospels. Jesus was approached or approached people daily through the villages from the Jordan to Jerusalem. That was something that he always did. He lived intentionally. He sought opportunities to engage in conversation with someone. Peter, just the chapter prior to Acts 3, the day of Pentecost, the arrival of the Holy Spirit. You have a crowd. This is a massive festival. You have a crowd of people there. And when the arrival of the Holy Spirit comes, the people want to know what in the world has just happened. And the crowd gathers. They're looking to the apostles. And verse 14, chapter 2, Peter, standing with 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words." Give ear to my words. He speaks to the crowd. He sees an opportunity, takes advantage of it, and addresses the crowd. At Lakeshore, there's a team of pastors. I have two other pastors that I work with, partnered with, to plant this church. And we came together and we realized, and we talk about this every week, if we're relying on the three of us to replant this church in New Orleans, it will fail. So we knew So our goal is to get our people living intentional, engaging in conversation, building relationships with people in the city. But you may ask, like, why do we take the opportunity? I get this all the time. I want to try to encourage people to live intentional. Why do we need to be intentional? Why is it important for you to seek opportunities to engage in conversation with people here in Auburn, whether it's at the football game, or whether it's at a little league baseball, or at school, or at work, your hobbies? Why do I need to be intentional? And this is where we start getting into the good stuff of this sermon. Here's the pivot. Here's the needle in the bone. Verse 6, we as Christians are called to live intentional with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter and John in verse 6 said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I'll break this verse into two parts. There's two things I want you to recognize when you're speaking about the gospel. One, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is very important. This is a message of clarity. He is clearing the confusion by pointing to a specific source. So when you're out there in school, on the job, and you claim that you go to church or that you're a Christian, people do not understand that anymore. They don't know that. Okay, that means they don't sing a few songs, they read the Bible, they're an active churchgoer, but they don't really understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. What brings us here this morning? What takes us to New Orleans to try to plant a church? They don't understand what we're centered around church. So one, we need to clarify why we're Christians. We need to let people understand what we truly do believe. Then he goes on to say, after he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he ends his message with confidence, rise up and walk. He knows, Peter knows, that Jesus has the power to heal a man that has been lame from birth for decades. He knows that Jesus has the power. Another common terminology that we hear throughout the New Testament after the gospel is presented is repent and believe. They also knew this name, that Jesus would bring conviction. And so here it is so important. We see the example. We see the importance of not only speaking a message with clarity, but to speak a message of confidence. Have confidence in the gospel message. I want to read a few verses that I picked out about what I say, but portray the gospel very well. John 3, you don't have to follow on, just listen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, church, his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 5:18, therefore as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life. Justification and life for all men. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. One more. But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Church, you must have a message before you ever have a mission. That message will then always empower you into mission. Church, the power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ alone. That is what brings you here every
single Sunday morning. That is what has changed your life. That is why you praise God. Church, that is why you struggle through your daily routine. The gospel of Jesus Christ is where the power is found. This is the message that we now, as the church, have to be faithful to more than ever. Your church invites, your Facebook posts, your good deeds, they do not work at all. People, this ought to convict you, this ought to challenge you, people will go to their graves, church, thinking and believing that Christians are good without ever hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your good deeds will not save them. You inviting them to the church will not save them. Something new for me in New Orleans is crawfish bowling. They love it. That is a culture that centers around crawfish. I love to cook. We used to do kind of a crawfish shrimp bowl here for the men's feces, I think. That's what we call it, Cliff's ministry. So I always helped out with that. So I learned a little bit about it because I've got a peanut bowling kit. I had a great idea one summer to sell bowl peanuts on the side of the road for a little extra cash. And I never really made any money doing it. But what it did do, it gave me the supplies to do a crawfish bowl for our church. So this is our second crawfish bowl. We did last Sunday was our second. So I had this bowl of peanut kit. We went and bought a lot of crawfish. I think we bought 6 sacks. And we put up a sign on the side of the road. We had two mission teams in town last week. Put a sign on the side of the road all week. Said, crawfish Sunday. This Sunday, 4 p.m. And then right at probably 3:30 last Sunday, we had some of the mission team members to go out on the roadside and with posters that said free crawfish as the cars were driving down the road. Instead of free car wash, we had free crawfish and people were coming in. I think we had 17 people visit us from the community. And that's big for church plan. So we were very excited about that. And afterwards, because that was the first day the mission team was there, afterwards we had our training. So it was a good time for me to say, you know, why during that crawfish bowl, if you didn't take the opportunity to engage in conversation with a visitor or share the gospel with them, you've done nothing for them. And we have done nothing for them. All we did was we fed them crawfish. There was no purpose. There was no meaning in that. It was pointless. It was centered around the gospel. So that's what we challenged the team, because they had a full week last week. We then wanted to press on and press in by saying, you be intentional with the gospel no matter what you do this week. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, after he addresses the crowd, gets their attention. He then, in verses 22 through 36, points them to Jesus Christ. He explains who Christ is. He explains what the arrival of this Holy Spirit means. What is going on? And after I read that text, I got thinking about it a little bit. I was wondering, I was asking myself, what would I have done in that situation? Would I have taken the opportunity to address the crowd? If there were 1,000 people in front of me, or thousands, and they want to know what in the world just happened, what came from the sky, would I have taken that opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ? Most of the time, or more times than not, I probably would not. We, church, are so unfaithful to the gospel message. We are. I looked up on the internet because it's a running joke, and people always make the comment about a Jehovah's Witness. So raise your hand if you or anyone you have ever
submit a report every month or term to peer record. No submission for 6 continuous months or term inactive. In 2014, these reports indicate a total of more than 1.9 billion hours of preaching to non-members. In 2014, there was an increase of 275,000 baptized members. Church, they are faithful to their message. And I'm not supporting their message, but their means of getting out, getting their message out works. It is working for them. So now ask yourself, you don't have to raise your hand, how many times have you been approached by a Christian who is trying to share the gospel with you, who asked to share the gospel with you? I bet it's half of the people in this room. And that shows you that we have the truth. We have the source. But yet, we are so unfaithful to sharing that source. It is time for us to take opportunities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, it is time. And the gospel is what does the work. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to convince anyone of this truth. All you have to do is be faithful to sharing this truth. That's all you have to do. The weight is off your shoulders for results. It is literally off your shoulders. You do not have to convince a single individual about Jesus Christ and the truth of his message. There's power in that, church. It is that message. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that will fill these empty spaces in this church. No doubt. It will fill the empty spots in the parking lot. It will send people, and it sends people from Auburn to Atlanta to Africa, leaving everything they know and love behind. That is what does it. It's not the way we do things on Sunday mornings. It's not the way we sing. It's not the way we look. It's not the way we smile. Church, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to quit saying that. That is what builds the church alone, nothing else. That is what gives you victory over sin in your life, over struggles, the bondage of sin, everything you're going through, everything you're doing, church and life, has purpose when it's centered around Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ, I want to take every single opportunity, whether I'm at work, whether I'm on the golf course, whether I'm hanging out with my friends or family, to be intentional with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not to highlight somebody because I love this. I have family and friends in town this weekend. We made a weekend trip out of it. We arrived here on Thursday. There's someone who's very special in my life, that's here every week, and that's Miss Millie Nichols. Most of you know her. I asked her, I said, Miss Millie, I'm coming into town. The guys and I have been playing a little golf. We're making this a little retreat, vacation. Can you hang out with the women? And of course she did. And they told us, we were having breakfast this morning, and dinner last night, and they told us, they said, Miss Millie invited every store worker in Auburn to church this Sunday while we were walking from store to store. My wife said, Katie said, we'd go in there and we'd be the only ones in there. They said, hey, you need to come to Lakeview because her husband's preaching there this Sunday. And that's Miss Millie. sisters, and that's what I love about her, and I'm so encouraged by her because she's intentional all day long. If she's going to the gym, if she's going grocery shopping, if a telemarketer calls her house, she's going to ask him if they know Jesus Christ before they hang up the phone. They probably have her red flag for that reason. And, but church, she understands, Ms. Millie understands that if Levy is going to get to his fullest potential, then every member in this church has to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single member here. I was here for 8 years, so I learned the history of Lakeview, and I know how you got to this point. Brother, I talk about it all the time. The reason you guys were able to go from that, as I was praying this morning about the sermon and this time here with you guys, I couldn't help but to think about the story of when you guys marched from the old campus to the new campus. It was like a parade, I think. You guys even had flags. You march from there to here. And the reason you were able to get to where you're at today is because this church was intentional. And they were intentional with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what built this church. But God's always been centered on that truth. He's always preached that truth. And this church has always carried that truth that was preached from this pulpit to this city and beyond. It's time to return to that faithfulness. It's time, church, to return to that intentional living that we are called to, that we see in the life of Peter and John. That's what we're trying to do at Lakeshore. We're trying to get our members not only intentional, but intentional with the gospel. We're trying to get them to the point where they realize this church will only be planted, replanted by the gospel. Now, we're going to transition to the last point, or second to last point, actually. And the question is, what is the next step to being faithful with the gospel? And I love this, especially as a church planner. I love this. Church, we're called to do it together. We are called as Christians to share the gospel, to be intentional together. Verse 7 says, and he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Acts 3:11 says he clung to them. This healed beggar who is now walking, he is clinging, he is clung to Peter and John. Church, you cannot let the gospel message be. You really cannot. We must link arms with those we have shared to and also those who are sharing. You must come together as a team and figure out how we can be intentional together. How can I help my neighbor on the other end of that queue be intentional? How can I encourage that individual who's being intentional? How can we come together and organize a potluck in our home or cornhole tournament, whatever, a shrimp bowl, crawfish bowl? What can we do to be intentional and invite people into our home where we can build a relationship to share the gospel with people in the city? How can we do that? How can we be inviting? You must ask yourself that. We have to be faithful to the work of the gospel. When you share it, you have to believe, going back to earlier, you have to believe with confidence that that message is going to work. Something's going to happen in that person's life when they hear that truth. It took 2 or 3 months for me to return, and I returned. I came through the doors running. I'll mention that lady prayed for days and responded, "Now when," in chapter 2, verse 37, Peter responded, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And it says that 3,000 were added, and they gathered together in group. Acts 3:11-16, the people wanted to know, how was this man healed? The crowd gathered again. What in the world has just happened? Peter did not take the fame. He did not say, "I did it. It's me." He said, "The God of Abraham did it." God is the means. He is the source. Acts 4:1-12, 5,000 more believed. And it said that they had everything in common. It was Peter being faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ is what added those numbers. Think about it, church. You and I cannot do this alone. The church has been designed for a purpose. Therefore, it's our time to step up and fulfill that purpose. Peter's speeches and sermons, they all had this in common. They were centered around the gospel, and they involved teamwork. Picking back up on my testimony where I left off, it was challenging for me my first year walking with the Lord. I didn't know how church worked. I was scared of Christians. So I tried to show up here every Sunday and not make Christian friends. Just show up. I showed up by conviction to show up, hang out, leave, and then I go hang out with all my other friends. It was very challenging to find victory in life, to live with the gospel. I kept getting defeated. I kept falling short. I didn't know what to do. Brother Al took me to breakfast after preaching class. And after I shared my testimony with him, he said, "Bo, I have something that you need, and you have something that I need." And I'm thinking, "Oh my, what is this?" And he said, "You have lost friends who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you need to understand him more." He says, "I'm going to come pick you up every single Tuesday. You're going to take me to one of your friend's house, knock on the door, introduce me, and then you're going to share your testimony with them. And I'm going to share the gospel." So, goes back to that whole thing. You can't tell Brother how that. So, I agreed to it out of fear and just, yeah. So, week after week, Brother Al showed up and I knocked on the door. I was losing friends left and right. and I got to the point where I had run out of friends to take it to. So I would try to meet people on the Tiger Transit just where I'd have somebody to take it to. And so at the end of that year, you know, I was looking back on it, so thankful for it. But I would ask myself, you know, why did Brother Al do that? He was trying to ruin my life. And then it clicked one day. All Brother Al wanted is the same thing that Peter and John wanted. They wanted to see it go from 2 to 3. From 2 individuals to a third. They wanted to see the gospel take over somebody else's life as it took over theirs. Brother Al saw the gospel taking over my life. And he says, "Son, I'm going to help you. But not only am I going to help you figure out how to live gospel-centered, we're going to take that message beyond you. We're going to watch it grow." Church, that is the heart that grows the church. this church used to meet for decades in a church that we had now fully renovated and had taken over. They had to close their doors a little over a year ago. They could no longer fund it. There was no more participation from the community. The numbers had dropped. George Ross, the city coordinator of New Orleans for the North American Mission Board, took it over. He's the one that recruited me, called me into it. He's also helping me, a big part of it. And now we're pushing probably an average of 60 people on a Sunday. We just had our public launch back in January. Our high attendance is 79. We're very excited. But I asked myself, how did it go from less than 20 to now over 70 within a year? I interviewed some of the old members that made the transition, and they said, we relied on the pastor. We were not involved in ministry. We were not held accountable to be involved in ministry. We did not live intentional. We just showed up on Sunday. That mentality, that heart, slowly, all the numbers just slowly drifting. The life of the church fading out, because the life of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, I know I've said that 100 times this morning, but that is the life of the church. When you cut that out, the church is going to die. This is a healthy church. I love this church. This church has a passion for God. It's contagious, motivating, encouraging. The church, you've got to stick to those roots. You've got to encourage yourself. Encourage your brother. How can we be intentional again? How can we see this church full again? How can we see people surrender their life to Jesus Christ? You must ask yourself that. And so how can you, Lakeview Baptist Church, be intentional together? It starts with your daily routine. It starts with church partnerships. Lakeshore has partnered. Lakeview has partnered with Lakeshore and Lakeview. Danny Armstrong, you're a faithful, giving church to Danny Armstrong. I have benefited greatly from the cooperative program. I was able to be a full-time church planner in Atlanta, and now I'm close to being a full-time planner in New Orleans, all through the faithful giving of churches across this land. Also, Regen, this children's choir is coming to New Orleans this summer. That's an opportunity for you to be faithful together. This transition right now to the 8th verse through the 10th verse, the last part is probably my favorite part. I may have said that 7 through 10 was my favorite, but this is probably my favorite. I love this. Why are we intentional with the gospel? Why are we intentional together, church? Verses 8 through 10, it says, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Church, we do every single thing we do for the glory of God. Everything you do needs to be done for the glory of God. That should be
just be intentional. Let's stay gospel-centered. And let's do it all for God's glory. As we transition into the closing, church, I just want you to ask yourself again the same question: how can I be intentional? How can I start living intentional today? Start one step at a time. Just build relationships. Love on people. Confess. Let's use this time to confess and say, God, I have not been faithful. Yesterday, I had a perfect opportunity to witness to someone to share the gospel. And I did not take the opportunity. I woke up this morning and I said, God, I'm sorry. You gave me an open door. You gave me an opportunity to be intentional with this person. I did not take it. Confess it, Lord. Confess that you are in need of Him. That you need His help. Confess to your church. Ask your church for help. How can I share the gospel? Can you teach me how to share the gospel within 2 to 3 minutes? Can you teach me, guide me, to be more intentional with my life? Because everything is worth it when it's for His glory. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much.